As the task force planning crept onward, Marta kept a weather eye on Bunny. He had not softened his opposition to Esme Sweezer, even when it became obvious that much of the evidence against her had been lies and more lies. It made no sense. She had known him most of his life. He was neither stupid nor vicious. His reputation for staying calm in a crisis and being fair to all parties had made him the one person the Grand Council would trust after Chemtree's abdication. She was tempted to contact Miranda, conspicuously absent, but refrained. Never get between man and wife, her grandmother had taught her, and in her life she'd seen nothing but grief come of it when someone tried. So, 5 days before the task force was due to depart, she tackled him privately.
Don't start. You're going to tell me Sweezer isn't that bad, that she's earned her slot as an exec on Shrike, that it's not fair to pull her off?
No, I'm going to ask you why you blame Sweezer for Brunn's behavior.
She drove her into a frenzy.
Bunny, who chose Brunn's genome pattern?
We did, of course.
Including her personality profile?
Well, yes, but...
You told me before you deliberately chose a risk-taking profile. You chose outgoing, quick-reacting, risk-taking. A girl who would always find the glass half full and think a room full of manure meant a cute pony around the corner.
Yes.
And you got a charming, lovable scapegrace, full of mischief as a basket of kittens, and you enjoyed it for years, didn't you?
Yes, but...
You spoiled her, Bunny.
He stared at her, his ears reddening.
You chose for her a personality profile, a physical type, and a level of intelligence which would predictably make her likely to get into certain kinds of trouble. And what did you do in her young days to provide the counterbalance she needed of judgment and self-control?
We'd had other children, Marta. We were experienced parents.
Yes, for the bright conformists you designed first. And they turned out well. You had given them what they needed. Did you give Brunn what she needed?
We gave her everything.
Bunny, I know this sounds like condemnation, but it's not. Brunn is a very unusual young woman, and she would have needed a very unusual childhood to bring her to her present age, able to handle her talent safely. It's no wonder you and Miranda, enchanted just like everyone else with that explosion of joy, didn't provide the kind of background that would do her good.
Bunny almost nodded. She could see the softening of the muscles in his neck.
But it's my opinion that your real objection to Esme Sweezer, perhaps unknown to you, is that she's like Brunn with a throttle, with controls. And her father, whatever he's like, did a better job for his daughter than you did for yours.
She's not anything.
Oh, yes, she is. Have you read the combat reports on her? I have. Intelligent? Very. Charismatic? Yes, especially in a crisis. Risk-taker? She came back to Xavier and saved the planet. And incidentally, Brunn. Brunn thought they had a lot in common. That's why she was dogging Sweezer like a little girl tagging a big sister.
I can't believe that.
I can't believe you're still not seeing your own part in this. That's why you didn't want Miranda out here, isn't it? She'd admit it and she'd argue with you.
I can't.
Bunny, it's still not your fault. I think you made mistakes, but so does every parent. But it's also not Lieutenant Sweezer's fault. She didn't drive Brunn into a mindless frenzy that lasted 30-odd days. She had a quarrel which would have been over with the next day if they'd had a chance to make up. And in your heart, you know that. Channel your rage where it should go, to those thugs who took her, and quit trying to lay your guilt on Sweezer.
He was looking away from her. She waited until the muscle in his jaw quit twitching.
We need everyone's best to get her out. Lieutenant Sweezer's best is very good, and it could save Brunn's life.
All right. As far as I'm concerned, she can go. But if she does anything to harm Brunn's chances...
I will personally take her hide off in strips. Nice, narrow ones, very slowly. And you can have her kidneys on toast for all I care.
It's so small a chance. So small.
You just increased it. Now, shall I tell the Admiral, or will you?
The man in the checked shirt, true to his persona as country bumpkin in the city, had wandered up and down the various streets, visiting the breeding houses once or twice. and coming again to look at the showing of the yellow-haired abomination from space. He had told several men at the bar he frequented that he was afraid she wouldn't be released for breeding before he had to go back up the hills. Finally, one of the men made the suggestion he'd been waiting for. Go around to the back of the orchard and wait for her. No harm done if she was bred a few weeks early, and likely no one would ever know. Watch a day or so, see when she went out and who went with her. He was watching when she went to the last but one apple tree and put something in its crotch. She looked a lot more like what he'd expected out here in the orchard than during the showings, but he wondered if she would cooperate when the time came. If she wouldn't, he'd have to drug her, and she would be difficult to lug over the wall, big as she was. And it looked like she might have plans of her own. He hoped they wouldn't trip him up. He walked on and made his arrangements. He needed a ground car. He walked across the city to rent it for cash from the spaceport vendor. Simplicity, an apt name, Brunn thought, had told her all sorts of things the other women mentioned only in passing. Unlike Brunn, she kept track of time, and in her artless chatter had revealed the clues that let Brunn begin tracking market days even while confined to the nursery. Someone went out every day to get small amounts of fresh greens. 3 times a week, several of the staff women went out and returned with a wide variety of supplies, whatever was needed for daily work which the women could not supply for themselves. Starting with their holy day, they had market day, then skip 2, then market day, then skip 1, then market day, then holy day. So Brunn decided that the first market day would be the best for her purposes. Several of the staff women would be gone, and everyone would be more relaxed after the rigors of the holy day. The hard thing would be to find the house where Hazel stayed. Simplicity had described the house at length, its gardens, its weaving shed, its wool house, its several kitchens, the quarters for children, for wives, for the master. What she could not describe, what it had never occurred to her to describe, was its location. Brunn realized the girl had hardly ever been out of it, and thus had no way to describe where it was in relation to anything else. On the midweek market day before she planned to go, Brunn decided to test her plans. She would nurse the babes to fullness, mingling a little of the homebrew into her milk. They were greedy feeders, and she had discovered that if she dripped sugared fruit juice down her breast, they'd take it along with her milk. Then she'd see how long they slept, which would give her some idea of how long she had to find Hazel. Brunn finished her chores and noticed that all but 2 of the staff had left to go to market. She picked up the babies and caught the attention of one of the remaining staff women. She nodded toward the orchard.
Go ahead then. Good day for a walk.
Brunn mimed eating.
Oh, you want to take your lunch out there? Oh, fine. I'll ring the bell for you to come back in case you fall asleep.
Brunn took a small loaf of bread, fresh baked that morning, and sliced off a hunk of cheese, laying the knife neatly back in its place. The woman had poured her a jug of fruit juice and water, and on this day Brunn noticed that this was an unnecessary courtesy. She smiled. She couldn't help it. The woman smiled back, clearly pleased. She could not afford this offer of friendship, if that's what it was. She took the jug and her lunch, tucked them into the sling where the redhead lay content, shifted the back sling until the other baby was balanced better, and moved out onto the paved terrace between the nursery buildings and the orchard. She strolled in her usual way along the right-hand path, pausing now and then to look up into the trees at the hard green fruit that would be ripe in a few months. This was not the day. This was merely practice. But her breath came short. Her heart beat so wildly that she felt it must be drumming loud enough to hear. She tried to relax, reaching out to stroke a branch heavy with fruit. But the babies caught her tension and began to squirm. The one in back flailed at her head with his arms. That, oddly enough, steadied her. She moved on more quickly now, though today there was no hurry, to her favorite spot near the far end of the orchard. When she'd first made it this far up the little rise, she'd been able to see the building through bare branches, but now the orchard trees were in full leaf, and she knew they could no more see her than she could see them. She laid the babies down on the little quilts folded into the slings and put her lunch down as well. babies rolled and played, making wide-handed swipes at each other. She bit off a hunk of bread as she watched, thinking over her plan again, trying to improve it. By the time Brunn finished eating, they were getting fussy, looking at her.
All right, then. Let's do it.